May the grace from God and from our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you. For the introduction of this sermon and for our mutual study, we shall read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning from that chapter, from 1st to 16th verse. And these words are heard in Jesus' name. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live in a way that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, along with patience, accepting one another in love. Do your best to maintain the unity of the Spirit by means of the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit. In the same way, you were called to the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Now to each one of us, each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That is why God says, when he went up to the highest place, he led captives into captivity and gave gifts to people. Now what does this he went up mean, except that he also had gone down into the lower parts of the earth? The one who went down on the same one who went up above all the heavens, so that he might fill everything. And it is he who gifted some to be apostles, others to the prophets, others to be evangelists, and still others to be pastors and teachers, to perfect the saints, to do the work of ministry, and to build up the body of Christ, until all of us are united in the faith and in the full knowledge of God's Son, and until we may attain mature adulthood, and the full standard of development in Christ. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed like waves and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, or by clever strategies that would lead us astray. Instead, by speaking the truth in love, we will grow up completely into the one who is the head, that is, into Christ, in whom the whole body is united and held together by every ligament with which it is supplied, as each individual part does its job. The body's growth is promoted so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. We got to hear in the previous sermon about Paul's actions, and also this letter to the Ephesians. It relates what Paul wrote to the congregation of God, which was born in that specific city. And this beginning of this part is very, this letter is very touching. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, so I who am prisoner of Lord. And if you think about the memorize the Paul's life, and I don't know if he already related about Saul of Tarsus and his face, previous phases of his life. But this Saul of Tarsus, he was a diligent law teacher. He had been studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And he was in unbelief. He was persecuting this new doctrine that Jesus Christ preached during his public ministry. Now he received the grace of repentance, and he was stopped at the way towards Damascus, and a bright light made him blind, and he had to get to Damascus, where he was then, or he received the grace of repentance. And it is good to remember how Jesus gave this duty for his own to preach the gospel and forgiveness of sins. And we can think that also here, this order of grace was this, that the Son of God had given that power for his own, and it is still so. Therefore, not through prayer or some view, we cannot get into our sins forgiven, but somebody who is already believing needs to preach the gospel. Now Paul was as a prisoner in Rome. Paul wrote other letters as well. And he knew that his earthly journey is soon getting to the end. But he was rejoicing that the Almighty Righteous God gives him the crown of righteousness. So he gets the crown on his head as a mark of victory. And he was referring to the race, running race, where these kind of crowns were given for the winners. And God's word says that he is the winner who believes. And that is a simple message. And Paul believed that this crown is getting to him and for all of us if we continue in our journey in faith until the last day. And Christ is our power for this endeavor. And Paul instructs here the Ephesians. And if we yet get back, he rejoiced how in the new congregations Christ had win people to believe. However, here also gave instructions, quite strong instructions. For example, in the letter to the Corinthians, in many different places, he gives strong advices. And here he also says that you need to live according to the grace call. And we remember that the old speaker brothers have preached that according to the precious gospel, and this grace gives us the power and the will to endeavor in our life, regardless of this, that we have heard that the sin besets, but still that gives us the will to endeavor according to God's word. But what does it mean? Here Paul opens it in the second verse, with all humility and gentleness, along with patience, accepting one another in love. this is a reference to the letter to the Colossians that we hear very often at the wedding feast or wedding ceremony. The older translation says that forgive one another and to suffer each one of you. Somehow these old translations feel a little bit better expression that we need to suffer one another. But if we take this example of the wedding feast, maybe the just married couple do not need to get so much advice to suffer each other's. But when the life goes on and the ordinary life goes on, and us who have been in marriage longer time, isn't it so that this exhortation to suffer one another by forgiving sins, it actually concerns all the human relations that we need to forgive one another. And we should also greet those ones who are outsiders of the faith with the same love. May the love help us to deal with each other's nice way. In that song that we just sung, it was very beautifully talking about this love. And then he goes on and instructs, do your best to maintain the unity of the Spirit by means of the bond of peace. When the Holy Spirit calls and connects, unites in the one holy congregation, the love, the fruit of love is created. Like love, joy, and peace are those fruits which were mentioned here. And when we are organizing services and living with one another in God's kingdom, we have this desire to negotiate and converse to get good solutions. And many times we may have different opinions, but eventually we may then compromise which are not necessarily best in our opinion. But when it is a question about God's word and the doctrine according to Bible, there we take very seriously, and there we want to endeavor. And if we have a wrong kind of understanding, that we can put that away, and we wish to endeavor together in the one Spirit and love. Therefore, this unity of the Spirit is born on that way. And the brother already in the previous sermon spoke about this, that it cannot happen so that if there is arguments and this not the same opinions, and then people start to believe differently and the heresy starts. And then it means that those ones who have come astray, they don't have any longer Holy Spirit. I have been some decades ago in one occasion where the speaker brother who had been believer and who had been in heresy after that one, I went there for the birthday party to bring something. It was touching all the others who were in that feast. they greeted each other as with God's peace, but nobody greeted me with God's peace. And they talked very strongly to me and admonished. That was not bad, but it didn't feel good, but that clearly indicated we didn't have the same unity of the spirit. And also I remember one other discussion that some brother told, who had been discussing with somebody who had gone astray. And that brother introduced this body of Christ, and he said, that other one said that he's isolated from the body. And said that can there be still something, some life in that, some member of the body, if that is not connected to the body? Then the believing brother asked, that, is it possible to be only partly dead? So the God's word touches us, and God's word emphasizes the unity of the spirit, the same spirit. So we also wish to always try to get the one-mindedness. And Paul goes on, and I already said this, there is only one body and one spirit. In the same way, you are called to the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord. I would like to jump to the end part of our text. It opens this last verse, this one. In whom the whole body is united and held together by every ligament with which it is supplied, as each individual part does its job, the body's growth is promoted so that it builds itself up in love. And that is how our text ends. And we know, according to the Bible, that Christ is the head of the congregation, and us members are the body members. And in the spiritual picture, the body means living body, which is the body of Christ. And if we study a little bit this living body of ours and its actions, if we think that we are driving a car and a moose is getting on the way, our eyes see it right away. And in a very short moment, our legs are starting to use the brake pedal, and we start to use our heads, our hands with the steering wheel, and then soon also we put the emergency lights on if it hits the moose. We can imagine and marvel our body, how well it is working together, how the different body members are acting towards the same goal in order to protect that body. Or the other example, during the winter when I'm skiing and some branch is on the way, so our hand automatically wipes away that branch, so that our head and our eyes are not hurt. So the human body is so marvelous how it acts well. And we could have many different examples of that. For example, here at the service area, we can see many different kind of actions. How with skilled hands and with knowledge, this service site has been built. So this picture of the body and its head. And I remember the word of Christ when he said that I am the vine tree and you are the branches, and you cannot do anything without me. We have here also the picture, very wholesome picture, how through the brain, how through the head, the commands to the body members are given. So this parable of the body is very good, how the head of the body and the body members are acting. And when we get back to the earlier part of our text, we have also these gifts of grace in the as body members. In the sixth verse that we read, it's a little bit deviating from this other text, but it's very touching. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. We do not go deeper into that, but we had today something at the Summer Service Radio about the role of the knowledge. We can rejoice over the individual human knowledge and research, how much people have studied the eternity and about God's creation. I was also studying a little bit the book of Job, where God instructs Job, and Job wrote like this, great deeds he does, and he does something which have no boundaries. So it seems to be that the eventual knowledge is going out. We cannot find it, but the God's glory is emphasized. When we talk about these gifts of grace, many skills that we have, that we need to organize services and our life, they are God's gifts. Then we can also study to be humble, as Paul writes, how these gifts of grace, how they are given by the God, by Christ, how he has seen those good to give for us. On the other hand, apostle instructs us that each one of us should like each other's in a good way, and always to give the glory to the Heavenly Father for all the good gifts, and everything good comes from the Almighty God. And we also have heard how the gifts can also be taken out through some accident or illness, so that large majority of our gifts can be also taken out. Surely we can be glad for our gifts, but we shouldn't get bold, or we shouldn't get we need to be humble. Paul continues. Paul continues when he went up to the highest place, led captives into captivity, and gave gifts to people. Didn't that actually mean that he had first come down to the lowest place of the earth before he went up? When the Word became flesh, and when the Word lived in our midst, when the Savior lived in our midst, he lifted up in heaven. He ascended into heaven. He gave his word here. It has been touching how this small flock of apostles started to work after the resurrection of the Christ. And when they had been sent by the Christ, and when that congregation at the New Covenant started to grow, it seemed that it was even growing harder than during Christ. Of course, that was by the work of the Holy Spirit. But it was probably needed for those apostles, disciples, who were scared. But still through them, the gospel message started to spread very quickly during Jesus' public ministry. That gospel worked better at the lowest places, because those very skilled Pharisees, they did not accept the gospel because they were fearing what the others would say. And so it is also today how the Jews have asked that have the highest ones believed upon him. So it is still when I have been able to be at the mission journeys, mission trips, the highest status people who have lots of power and authority, they do not want to get to the services. But the gospel has been accepted rather by those who are, we can say poor, but they are very precious brothers and sisters. And we can also here have brother to serve us, even at these services. And that is so marvelous gift from God. But when he descended down, then he went up and he filled everything with his presence. And God put everything subject to the Christ. And God set Christ as the head of the congregation. Therefore, he is yet today where he is present through his Spirit, as Jesus said, that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But that is so safe, secure words that we can even today here believe that and understand that God is with us through the Spirit. Then Paul goes on. Then he said that those body members who have been given a duty and the congregation, he gives some different duties. In this text, he doesn't take those practical duties or those examples that I mentioned. Those are important. But he talked here about the office of the ministry and teaching. And it is he who gifted some to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, and still others to be pastors and teachers. And we can understand here how, in addition to these speakers, in addition to those ones who are preaching over the congregation, we have also confirmation school teachers, we have Sunday school teachers, and the Bible class teachers. Those are among the congregation as teachers. And even if it was not mentioned here, but here Paul says that in order to equip all the body members of the congregation to serve, we can say here that you mothers and fathers at home, when you are talking to your little ones of Jesus, and those little ones, they are teaching us, dads and moms and grandparents, with that innocent or with this understanding of a child. So often the child teaches us, as the songwriter also writes. But all that work to serve, it is important. As we know from that picture of the human body, maybe some of the body members are especially important. But our body does not hate none of the members, the weakest members of ours. We do not want to give any of our body members away, but we want to keep all of them. And it is building the body of Christ. It comes to my mind, my trip to America 1.5 years ago, when the big services were starting. My turn to speak was approaching. And at the yard, there was one brother who was who had a Down syndrome, but he see how hard it was for me to prepare for the sermon. So he came to me and preached the gospel of forgiveness of sins. It was a very touching moment. Such a brother who is not involved in very many different duties, but so preciously he encouraged the speaker brothers to go to preach and to serve with the gospel. So he had a very precious duty, even if he didn't have all of those gifts that many of us have. All the members of the body are called to serve and to build the body of Christ. Then Paul instructs and he says that when we get to the same faith, united in the faith and in the full knowledge of the God's Son, and until we attain mature adulthood and the full standard of development in Christ, we can say that it is so. That when we have a more endeavor, we may also have wisdom. But Paul also says that we still understand so little. We only understand half. And many times we need to say that we don't even understand half. But what we have been given, we can rejoice over it as gifts of God. And Paul means, and also opens in the next verse, that we are no longer little ones, like little children, tossed like waves and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery. We can have joy over the speeches that we have been able to hear in the big services this summer, and in the conversations given by the speaker brothers. We have been enlightened with many, we have been warned about those matters which may lead us astray. And here Paul reminds us that we should not be like little children, which may go according to wind of doctrine astray. And the Son of God warned, he said that be watchful. And as we have been given that picture of the endeavor of journey and the endeavor of way, this way is a narrow way. If you think about the highway, earlier those were very, very narrow, and horses were pulling those cars, and those both ditches at the left and right hand, they were very close to each other. So the enemy of the soul is so wise that he may try to lead to the left side of the way, but in the same way also on the right side of the road. So those both are very close. And we know that our light on that way is God's word, and we use that as a compass. We know that not all of the matters have been mentioned by name in the Bible, but there is enough God's word to instruct us to try the things and to use those ones which are good, so we can trust in the understanding of God's congregation, and we can hear of the new inventions which bring lots of good things to our life. But the enemy of the soul has also been skillful by using those. And the psalm writer writes that this is such a secure way that even the most stupid guy cannot get astray. We can talk with our journey friends. We can hear introductions. We can hear conversations. And often and always some get some enlightenment in their life. So this journey is safe. Even the most stupid person cannot get astray from that journey. If you think about those being as little children, as Paul writes, as Paul means those ones which don't have a mature mind yet, Paul says that we should be as children in the evil. So we should have, we should be able to build connections and build peace. Little children are not example in everything because they also we need to build, not destroy. But those kind of instructions Paul gave to the Ephesians and the congregation there. And when we are in front of the mirror of God's word, dear brothers and sisters, as well as myself, we can feel that we have not lived even a day according to God's word, like perfect, but we can protect, we can seek protection from God's word, just like we find each one of us, you have permit to believe all your sins and doubts, temptations and worries and weaknesses forgiven in Jesus' name and in his precious atonement blood. We have so good God who is able to be merciful to us in our weaknesses. And so Paul here notes, he says, then we are instead by speaking the truth in love, we will grow up completely into the one who is the head, that is, into Christ. Also today, God's word has been serving us. It has instructed us. And I also believe that it has comforted us in our faith. And so it is good to remain to believe in God's word and to be under the grace of God. Can I also remain under this gospel to continue my journey? In Jesus' name, all sins are forgiven. I wish to endeavor and believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.